Teď přijdu.
You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
Do you love sci-fi, horror, and fantasy films? Then grab a badge for Otherworlds Film Festival, the country's premier sci-fi film festival. There'll be Q&As, panels, parties, and mixers. Rub elbows with up-and-coming and established filmmakers, as well as like-minded filmgoers. Come celebrate our 7th year, December 3rd through 6th, at the Galaxy Highland in Austin, Texas. Badges are now for sale at OtherworldsFilmFest.com. That's OtherworldsFilmFest.com.
Okay, all you guys out there who are fans of creepy Asian ghosts with long black hair who can appear and disappear and just know instinctively exactly the right place to be to scare the pants off of your protagonist, are you ready for another film? Because we've got one here for you, except this one isn't from Japan, it's from Korea, which traditionally, of course, has loved to play around with the tropes of the traditional J-horror genre, which is to say films like Ringu and Dark Water and what have you. The Koreans have been toying with that stuff for quite some time. I think they had their own version of The Ring called Virus. And now we've got sort of a further evolution of this. Korea has found that they like to do what a lot of the same things that the Japanese are doing in horror, at least some of them, but make it super gory at points. And this film we're reviewing today, Warning, Do Not Play, is not exactly breaking away from that rule. Although I think that what they thought they were doing was making a very meta ghost story / J-horror / found footage movie. It's hard to say exactly for sure the degree to which they thought they were just making a boo, I bet I scared you, haha, horror film, and something that's a commentary on said horror films. But before we go any further, I am Chris, and joining me today, we've got Lawayne.
Hey, how's it going?
We've got Matt.
Hey, hey, hey.
And to no one's surprise, we've got Adrian.
Ooh. It's Ghost Adrian.
I think Adrian is internet stalking me. He's on, like, almost every review I'm on.
Well, if you pick all the good horror movies, then yeah.
I just like horror movies.
It's kind of my home genre, so for me, this is artisticizing things I was going to watch anyway.
And I think that we're actually going to be a little mixed on this one, Warning, Do Not Play. The story centers on a young director, Mi Jung, played by Seo Ye-ji, who has been hearing stories of this legendary horror film, much like multiple other films which have dealt with the idea of a cursed film that someone is looking for. She heard the story of this student at a local university who had presented this film to a festival. They were test screening it with an audience. It hadn't actually screened for the festival yet, but they were test screening with an actual audience, and the audience all ran out at one point in fear, and one person died of a heart attack. And the person, when questioned, said, well, I didn't make this movie, a ghost did. And she's like, I gotta know more about that. And we see she's got a troubled background herself. She has had a suicide attempt in her past and difficult things that have happened. And she's starting to have reoccurring nightmares of what? Of course, a scary Asian chick with long black hair who flashes in front of her and looks terribly burned. Ignoring every cue that says, this is a terrible idea, don't do it, she tracks down the director in question, the very well-known in Korean film Jin Seon-kyu, to find out where is this? I can't find it anywhere. She manages to get a hold of said film, much to the chagrin and despite the best efforts of the director. And it's on an old hard drive, so she has to sort of defrag it and try and pull the information off bit by bit. And she starts getting it kind of file by file, as we discover, doesn't appear to be the film itself, but a series of behind-the-scenes shots that start bit by bit unlocking the mystery of what actually happened on this film. Well, what was the deal with it? And that in and of itself brings this film to an even more meta aspect, as she's trying to make a film about this making of a film, which in its own way relates to something that happened in the same theater where the film was made before, with actors making a film. I think it's a little confusing.
Yeah, it's also a commentary on making films itself, because if you're thinking, I can't get my movie out there, there's no way a studio's going to pick me up. Well, this ghost made a movie and a film festival took it.
Literally, dead people can make movies. I see you have no excuse.
The first half of this movie, almost, aside from an occasional flash of nightmare or whatever, is less of a horror movie and more of almost like a procedural, like an investigation. She's got to track this thing down. She goes to the university. She goes to these other places. She's sneaking around to get information. She's stealing things in order to get this movie. She's become obsessed with it.
I would call it like a cult horror, where the horror itself is kind of investigatory in the first place.
Okay, yeah, I can see that.
It's a very familiar trope. I mean, like I always say, hey, as long as someone isn't actually scrolling through a microfiche reader, I'll give it a little bit of a pass.
It is a bit of a trope. I would say it's one that I actually really like. This, for me, is kind of like, in the same way, if you put bacon into a dish, it's probably going to taste really good. If you present the idea of there's a video out there that I'm not supposed to watch, that automatically gives me some chills. This mysterious tape that, oh shit, are we gonna see it? What's gonna happen? Is it gonna be something scary? Are we supposed to be watching this? It plays very into the whole cursed aspect of it and the found footage aspect, in the sense that she's literally finding footage. Even if that's a trope that's been used, I really like it in this movie. For probably half of it, at least.
I do like it as like a plot seed, because certainly when you take like a reporter, or in this case like a motivated, I guess she's a spec script writer, because she gets kind of bawled out by her boss in the beginning for not having it done on time or what have
you.
Yeah,
I believe so.
So you have a person that's curious by nature, and then they're financially motivated, and that's kind of your answer to why don't they just nope out the second like a jar tips over.
For me, the jar tipping over would be even more reason to keep doing it. I am that stupid white guy who's like, oh, this book's written in blood. We should read it out loud and see what happens. That's me all over.
You know, I have two thoughts about an actual encounter with the supernatural. First off, if a ghost kills you, you're either one or arguably one of two people, depending on your personal beliefs, that get to die knowing there's an afterlife. You're better than all the other people that ever died. You know,
there's a certain amount of confidence that you're like, well, at least there's something after.
Yeah, and then you could make a movie too.
Then second, if I thought like something in my apartment did something to like knock over a cup, or there was the sound of a traumatized larynx clicking away in the upper story of my closet, it's not like I would be comfortable for the rest of my life if I just moved and didn't investigate. Like I would no longer trust any closet. At least if it was just my closet, there's a chance I could exercise the one and have a thing-free closet.
Or in the voice of a famous comedian, you might be a cat owner.
We talked about her being a writer, and it's clear she's stuck. Whatever it was she's working on, she's hit a point where she can't go anywhere. And she's either looking for inspiration or, frankly, as it gets further along, almost a way to plagiarize this film that nobody's ever seen, but it's super terrifying. It's clear she did something really awesome. She had, like, the world's greatest short film. And now everybody's waiting for her to do the full feature, something just as awesome. And I don't think she thinks she has it in her.
Hear me out. Catcher in the Rye 2.
To Kill a Mockingbird 2, whatever, one of those sort of things.
Sadly, that's actually a thing.
No, it isn't. It does not exist. We're not going to talk about it. She wrote one perfect book, and that was it.
That's how I feel about The Dark Tower, Stephen King's best standalone novel.
This particular movie, you're obviously trying to get at something, and I feel like maybe I'm just missing it. Them trying to make this multi-leveled meta statement about filmmaking, but a lot of the film just is using the exact same silly tropes as every other horror film, including, weirdly, most of it being shot using found footage tricks, even though most of it is not a found footage film, which I always find kind of annoying. I'm like, have you only ever made a found footage movie before? So that's the only way you know how to shoot a film?
His last film was a found footage film.
There you go. There's a lot here, I think, that gets better in the third act for me. I mean, I like the procedural trope too, but it's the bulk of this film, and not a lot actually happens during a lot of this movie. It's not as slow as some. Once it gets to the third act, where it's just like, okay, now the ball is fully rolling downhill, and we're going to get really gory, and a lot of crazy shit is going to happen, and the film will switch from the style of a found footage movie, which it pretty much reliably is through the bulk of it, to kind of an art horror come almost directly tributing Dario Argento in movies like that, which is an odd switch for this movie to make, but it's definitely where the film is at its most appealing, at least for me.
Stylistically, it goes out with a bang, but my biggest problem with this is that I just found it a little too convoluted, and it's probably what you were saying. Like, I feel like I might be missing something culturally, because I'll feel like, okay, the movie is about filmmaking in a way, and it's also a meta-narrative about tropes of horror movies that are like this. I feel like this movie has three endings, and it didn't decide which one to pick, so it just showed us all of them.
I'm not going to call it cultural. I'm going to cop to it. I would have liked this movie, which I didn't dislike, but I would have liked it more if I spoke Korean. It has almost a sort of Inception layer cake thing going on. I'm not Johnny No Subtitles. Like, I like subtitled movies. I don't usually have a problem like following them. Because the characters move very smoothly through the layers of abstraction in it, I think it was hard. It's not like they flash forward and tell you when you're in layer one, layer two, layer three, you know?
I read several reviews saying as much, but up until the last couple minutes, did not really have as much of a problem with that. I really liked that aspect when it gets super like, oh my God, which reality is she in and how are they all intersecting towards the end? I liked that a lot. I found it was off-putting in the way that I felt like it was supposed to be. Like, it's just making me feel off my balance and scared. I thought that worked really well, but I can totally see why it was confusing for a lot of people in an unpleasant way as a film viewer.
There is the peak third act moment in this where the light bulb comes on for her. Is super effective. And also just in terms of general praise, I really liked the lead in this.
Me too.
I thought she really carried the movie on her back. She was alone on screen for a lot of it. I will say, I thought there was going to be a different misdirect here. I actually thought this was going to be a mundane thriller. I thought we were going to get set up for a horror and end up with a murder mystery.
Yeah, get set up for a supernatural horror and end up with a crazy guy with a knife. I kind of thought the same thing, but it is decidedly a supernatural horror film.
Oh, yeah, no question.
But let's go to final thoughts. Luane, why don't you get us kicked off here?
I actually really like this for the most part. I definitely want to go back and take a look at the third act again. One, because it's visually really interesting. And two, because I know there's stuff I'm not catching that I think may make a difference. And we've talked a lot about tropes and stuff like that, and it's sort of there. But there's also this sort of underlying thing about, like, obsession, the things you're willing to do to achieve a goal. Well, before we get to the third act, there are points where I'm like, nope, I'm out. I wouldn't keep doing this, even though I understand the, I have to produce this film, and I'm running out of time, and I don't have anything. And it's interesting to see a character go that much further, because you could have had a nice safe ending where she realizes, oh, no, this is a bad idea, but it's not interesting. Then why have we been watching her? And this is going to seem like a weird comparison. Like, when you watch the Walter White character in Breaking Bad, you start watching him, you're like, no, don't do the thing, don't do the thing. And then after a while, you realize, nope, the momentum's just moved too far along, and he's going to be this new thing now. That's kind of where I was with this. There's a lot more I want to say, but I can't, because I don't want to ruin the third act. I think this is something that's really important for you to come into as fresh as you can. I'll get past all the boring, rambly stuff and just get to the score. This is 3.5 out of 5 flares, seriously.
Nice. Matt?
I agree. I'll tell you, I think that arc through this is good. You see it, the whole, that characterization builds the whole time. Like, you see it when she's in the meeting with her, producer, boss, whatever he is. And then you see it when she cozies up to the college kids to get the urban legend out of them. I agree. That was very her sort of arc of, I don't know if you, where the line between dedication and obsession is, but it's here in this movie somewhere. I also agree that once, as they say in the South, business picked up, it really picked up here. We get a good, fairly tight ending that wraps everything up. The moments of realization in this, when it starts to hit them all that something creepy is actually happening, are pretty cool. I would give it 7.5 hip apartments no screenwriter could afford. A little dollop of there should have been a cat.
Adrian?
Yeah, so I don't know if you guys know, but I really like horror movies, and I've seen plenty of them, and I've seen plenty of them that are like this, but I figured with all the tropes that are in this movie, they're used pretty effectively. Like I said, I do have that bias of, I like movies about found footage, and there's this cursed video that you're not supposed to watch. It hits this spooky chord that's always like, ooh, this is gonna be fun. And for the most part, it was, but I'd say it's also consistently inconsistent. Every time I was liking it, I knew it was gonna go down and dragged a little bit. A lot of the scares were really well done, and then some of the scares almost felt like they were added in post with the way that something would pop out at you. It didn't feel natural. Overall, it's a horror movie, and it's pretty scary. I was scared on and off, and the times that I did jump, they were good jump scares. It's a little convoluted. I'm not sure if that's just me. I should have paid attention to it more, or maybe rewinded some scenes, or if it's just maybe a convoluted movie. Like I stated, the good things in this movie are enough to want to see it at least once. So I would give this 3 out of 5 bowls of butter chicken that I'm about to go eat.
Damn you. He knows I'm hungry. He's tormenting me now. Warning, do not play. Well, this is dropping on Shudder, and you guys out there who have Shudder, I think you need to open up and give a shot, too. It's not going to be for everyone. There's a lot of people, as I said earlier, who are just annoyed by a lot of these type of tropes, but I think they're organized here into a very interesting new way. I think this film is trying to be something more than your standard creepy Asian lady ghost movie. And I'm not entirely sure where I completely got it. But I did find it fascinating once the ball really started rolling. Yes, there's a lot of the all too familiar elements of the procedural detective trying to figure out what's going on here. And I hated the fact that the film was shot like a found footage movie when it's not a found footage movie. That I've seen that more and more happening, and almost every time it is, because that director's experience was for making found footage films, as it appears to be the case here as well. Dude, that's a totally different type of movie. You have to film it differently than you do this one, or it doesn't really work, or you get confused about which is which. And I'll hand it to you, there is the possibility that that was something they thought about, because there is a point in the third act where it is supposed to feel like all these worlds are merging together. So, hey, maybe it was something they thought about. I don't know. I will say that one of my favorite sub-genres of horror is the cursed missing film. Even the original Ring, which is like the cursed missing short film where people are searching, where is it? We want to get it so we can not watch it. And then they immediately watch it. You know, that's the way it goes. There's actually this fantastic mockumentary called Fury of the Demon on Amazon Prime that I had to like really search to find, but it's on there if you have Amazon Prime, from 2016, that is a fake documentary that if you didn't know was fake, you'd totally think was real, about a cursed movie that I deeply recommend, and I would say is much better with doing this sort of thing than Warning Do Not Play is. But Warning Do Not Play does indeed have its charms, and I have to overall recommend it at least to fans of horror and fans of, I don't want to say meta horror, because it makes you think of, you know, the Cabin in the Woods and what have you, because it's not that kind of meta. In fact, if anything, if I was going to compare this to any movie, I'd compare it to Polanski's The Tenant. There's some sequences that are very reminiscent of that, especially towards the end. But I know no one has seen that movie, so I'll try and pick less obscure things next time. I'm going to give this 7 out of 10 tricks to get data off of an old hard drive that I have never been able to find.